Hey, family. Hopefully you're having an amazing September so far. And speaking of September, guess what? Baby. Endo Unlocked is here and ready for you. Endo Unlocked is my virtual summit with over 20 health and wellness practitioners, NDs, MDs, health coaches, board certified coaches, ready to empower, educate, and motivate you to get in the driver's seat of your health when it comes to endometriosis. You are gonna want to join us for this free virtual summit, September 25th through October 4th, absolutely complimentary front row seats are here for you. We're talking all things nervous system, Ayurveda, prolapse, hysterectomy, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, what you can do to have acne-free holistic skin, infertility, parasites, emotional eating, trauma loop, and did I mention, honey, we also throw in a little bit of information about estrogen dominance, endometriosis and hormones, incontinence, PCOS, and so much more. I am super excited. This has been a project that has been on my heart for years, and we are finally birthing it. This is round one of many rounds to come. So be sure to go to the show notes, click the link, grab your seat. And here's the thing, don't just get fat, PHAT on the gems, share this link with a friend, share this episode of the podcast. This is literally your opportunity to pay it forward. Think of all the times that you were managing endometriosis, you were in a flare, and that one Instagram post that changed your world, that one podcast that you listened to that was like, oh my gosh, this is the information I need. The only way that we can change the narrative in the endometriosis community when it comes to managing our health holistically is to share the resources that we have. There are so many different misconceptions out there. And anytime that you can share something with someone else, that is powerful, right? That is huge. That will not only take you from endo warrior to endo conqueror, but really just stop a lot of the mishap, the gaslighting, and just the despair that comes with managing endometriosis. The final thing that I will say about this virtual summit is so many times we focus on the womb wellness or the pelvic pain or the period pain that comes with endometriosis. And if you manage endo, you know we have worked so hard to let people know it is not a period problem. It's more than a menstrual issue. But when you think about all of the content that is out there, it really does revolve around pelvic pain, painful sex, period issues. And not that that isn't important, but this summit is really going to shine a light on everything that goes on with your body when you're managing endometriosis. Now let's talk a little bit about this episode that you're about to enjoy. This is all about nervous system dysfunction. It is a webinar that I created, and after I did the webinar, I was like, hold it, my podcast family needs this as well. So I hope you enjoy it. Click the link, join the summit, and I will see you on the other side of Endo Conqueror. But welcome. Let's get it going. I am Dr. LJ Johnson, the holistic endo expert, specializing in everything endometriosis, hormones, infertility, all the unsexy stuff. It's pretty much my jam, right? All the stuff that keeping you up at night, that got you all stressed out, baby, that's my cup of tea. It took me 16 years to be properly diagnosed with endometriosis. So that was 16 years of feeling like I was crazy, blaming my body, blaming the doctors, sitting in my Tahoe, weeping my eyes out because I was like, I think I am going crazy because I'm telling people something's going on. They can't figure it out. And after people telling you that it's all in your head, eventually you start trying to, you know, maybe it is in my head, right? You're like, maybe there is a problem. But I will remember the one distinct moment that I'll tell you about. One day my doctor was like, it's all in your head. I don't think it's that big of a deal. You know, everyone else has a period. I don't know why it's such a big deal for you. And here was the thing for me. You know, it really was real for me. I had just missed a week of work. I had just gotten written up, you know, so that was very real to get written up. I got wrote up. I was out of PTO. You know, my neighbor was getting my kids dressed in the morning and getting them ready for school. My neighbor was coming over and cooking dinner for my children at night. You know, I was having a lot of different health issues. So even though someone kept telling me it's not real, it felt very real to me, you know, being threatened with your job because you keep missing so many days. I don't know about you, but that was real enough for me. So that is where I come from. Yes, I've got all the accolades and the alphabet soup behind my name, but I come to you as someone that got diagnosed with endometriosis after 16 years, even after being diagnosed, has basically got the nicest, kindest way that the medical community can tell you to kind of shut up was the whole, okay, now that you have endometriosis, do you want to kind of shut up, go back on the birth control and the pills? Because there's nothing else we can do for you. So that is where I always come from. I don't come from the high horse. I always say it. I come from the low horse, baby. That's been there, done that horse. So in my journey, I focused on lots of different things, nutrition, fitness, supplements. And we're going to touch on all of those. If you've seen one of my recent Instagram posts, I start talking about a lot of the tools that I have in my toolbox. And what I started to realize, literally, in all transparency, it's one of those things where you know stuff, but then all of a sudden when it starts to hit home for you, you're like, ooh, hold it. Maybe I should start talking to everybody else about this. And I started to see this correlation, especially in the last 90 days and even more in the last month, which is why I have to talk about this. When it comes to endometriosis, we get so focused on the symptoms. We want the bloating to stop, the painful sex, the murder scene periods, the infertility. We're always like, what can we do for these five things, right? Whatever the symptoms are, we've got them all listed out. And we're on the internet late at night. And I was there, right? But I'm gonna call y'all out. You're on the internet late at night. You know, what can I do for the bloating? What can I do for the gas? How can I have more energy? You're always searching. And then when you find the answers, right? That's great. You get some answers, you start putting them together, you start doing your little DIY, but then you also feel like you're missing something, right? You start doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You do the restrictive, working out. You restrict your working out, you restrict your food. You do all these things, and then it's almost like you don't have a foundation. And so for those of you who know me and you've worked with me, or you're just becoming familiar with me, I'm always going to bring the non-sexy, right? When we talk about nervous system, right? If I said, come to the seminar, come to the webinar, we're going to talk about 10 ways to, get out of pain, people would be all over it. Nervous system ain't nothing sexy about it, right? I don't hear anybody thinking nervous system and being like, ooh, this is going to be the game changer. But this is the thing. Our foundation is weak. We want to be out of pain, but we don't want to take care of our gut health. We want to be out of pain, but we don't want to naturally balance our hormones. I'm going to take it a little bit further. We want to be out of pain, but we don't want to make the lifestyle changes. We want to stay up till 1 a.m. watching TV, get up at 6 a.m., pound the coffee, you have sleep at 1 o'clock, mad at 3 o'clock because your little snack needs to be eaten, because you're hangry. And it's like, then we want to just be like, you know what? It's the endometriosis. Baby, don't get me started because I could be on this soapbox for another hour. Yes, you may be managing an endometriosis diagnosis, possibly PCOS, fibroids. Maybe you're like, something's just wrong in my womb wellness area. Heaven's sakes, I don't know what the problem is, but something ain't right. But this is the thing. The diagnosis that you're managing, maybe even the diagnosis that you're chasing, that is not the problem. I repeat, that is not the problem. It is your body giving you a check engine light. And what happens is when you start putting all these holistic healing measures on there, you're doing the castor oil packs, the magnesium baths, you're sprinkling in the random supplements that your homegirl, recommended at the barbecue, you're doing all the things. And then you're like, what's not going right? What's wrong? We need to look at our foundation. And I always want to just put little pieces, little bricks in the foundation. And something that I've realized, not only in myself, but a lot of my other patients in the last 90 days, is no one's talking about the nervous system because it ain't sexy, right? Like I said, nervous system, not sexy. How to have sex without pain, we're all over it. How to decrease the bloat, we're all over it. I got a couple DMs, what can I do? I need to lose 10 pounds because I can be slim thick by Labor Day. Come on here. I want you to be where you need to be as well. But here is the thing. If you are not doing the basics, if you do not have the foundation, so I want you to take this with everything else I've talked about and add it into your foundation. So let's talk about the nervous system. Because like I said, it's not sexy. People don't really think about it. When we think nervous system, most of the time, we're just like, I got some, sciatic pain. I got some pain in my back. When my period cramps come, when the endo flares come, my nerves are jumping. Maybe you think about it if you have restless legs, but most are not really sitting around focusing on our nervous system. But the nervous system is our powerhouse. We always have to also remember the gut-brain connection. Whatever is going on in your gut is going on in your brain. And what is connecting that brain-gut connection is the vagus nerve, right? So when you're talking about the nervous system, this is what's going to help with managing stress and anxiety, decreasing inflammation and pain, providing you with the things you need to regulate your speech, your mood, your body temperature, all of that. But when you're dealing with nervous system dysregulation, because I know some of you are like, I don't think I have a nervous system issue. Stick with me. I ain't diagnosing, but I'm just saying, if some of this is ringing true, you may want to lean in and listen a little closer. When we're talking about constipation, yes, we can take in extra fiber, we can take in water, but it's a little bit deeper for some of y'all. You're talking about gastroparesis. We're talking about your body knows that you need to poop. It knows that the toxins are in there. It knows that it needs to push it out, but there is a delayed contraction. Like your stomach just isn't contracting, you know, those muscles in your GI tract rather than your stomach. Everything is tight. You're not emptying. You have heartburn. Maybe you have heart palpitations, low heart rate, high heart rate, IBS. We all know, like it says, IBSing, right? It is total BS when everyone gets the IBS diagnosis. But here's the thing, they don't know what's going on, right? You're either constipated, you're either bloated, you're complaining about your stomach, you're looking 8 months pregnant, you're miserable. They're trying to put you on the Miralax, you know, all the Linzess, been there, done that, right? Maybe those things will help a little bit, but it's deeper. When your nervous system is charged up, and we're going to talk more about that, this is what you're looking at: chronic fatigue, depression, difficulty swallowing. Nobody thinks about that, right? They're just like, oh, I can't swallow supplements. I can't take big pills. Yeah, maybe that is, but maybe there's something going on with your nervous system: abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, loss of a gag reflex, earaches, you know, low stomach acid, high stress, and then being in that fight or flight. That is all coming from a dysregulated nervous system. So yes, we're talking about pain management, but here is the foundation. I think there's a lot of foundations. I'm going to let y'all put the pieces together on your own like Legos and figure out which piece is working for you. But this is what I'm saying. When we are trying to manage pain and calm our system, we need to look at the nervous system. The vagus nerve is controlling all that communication between our brain and all of our organs, right? If you're always bloated, you're always gassy, you've got gallstones, you've got heartburn, you pop in Prilosec like it's going out of style, pop in Tylenol and ibuprofen for the pain, you have to understand that there's more going on. And then when that vagus nerve is being kind of pissed off, is the nicest way to put it, and you're stuck in fight or flight, you're not going to be able to digest your food, especially with endometriosis, chronic systemic inflammation throughout the entire body. Your body already working overtime. Let's keep it 100. This is why on August 1st, you had an amazing salad and you felt great. August 15th, you had that same salad. You were bloated. You were all upset. You were like, well, I think I'm allergic, this, that, and the other. Yes, you may have some food sensitivities. But what I'm also saying is when your body is stuck in fight or flight, when it thinks it's always running from a bear, and we're going to talk about some of those things that trigger the fight and flight, you're not going to be able to properly digest your food. If your bowels are not moving 2 to 3 times a day, you're not going to be able to decrease the pain. You're recirculating toxins. And I'm going to take it a step further. Some of you are like, LJ, I'm good. I'm not constipated. My bowels move 2 to 3 times a day. You know, I'm not bloated, but I've got a bunch of brain fog. I've got nerve pain. I've got all these other things, eye floaters, earaches, sinus issues. It's all still coming back to that parasympathetic, that nervous system, right? When that nerve, that vagus nerve is not being signaled, then it's not telling your body that everything is okay, right? So if everything is locked up, if you're stuck in fight or flight, you're not going to be able to decrease inflammation. You're not going to be able to push the toxins out of your body. So I want to stop right here and talk about fight or flight, because I think we say it and everyone's like, okay, I get it. So let me break it down. And I try to bring an analogy so you can think about it, right? So fight or flight, your body feels like it is running from a bear 24/7. fight or flight. Your body, you know, it's like when the child runs out in the street, you sprint out, you get the child, you take care of it. Your boss calls you and you're like, hey, that project was due Friday at 5 p.m. Actually, now it's due at 6 a.m. Eastern. And you're like, oh goodness, I'm on PST time. Now I got to wake up in the middle of the night. We're talking about, you're like, you got to make it happen. That is all fine and great in those scenarios. But when you're stuck in fight or flight, the sympathetic nervous system is on overdrive. That is keeping you alive and pumping and jumping with adrenaline. That is fine when you need short spurts, but when you have too much of that going on, that can be a big deal. So when you're in fight or flight, that cortisol, the epinephrine, all of that is making you feel angry, anxious, afraid, your heart's racing, the hot flashes is kicking up, the digestion's like, see you later, peace, son, I'm out. You're not going to be able to digest any food. You're looking at water and getting bloated, right? You're not able to drink water. You're anxious. You're just that circular thinking. Those are all the things that you feel when you're in that fight or flight. We need to get your body into rest, digest. When you are in rest and digest, you can heal. Here's an example. That day that you were rushing at the office and you inhaled that salad, yeah, you probably had your salad and got your little vitamins in and did your little, you know, whatever. You checked it off your list, one healthy meal, but then you were more bloated. You were more, you know, dysregulated. You didn't process it good. The salad went in whole. The next time you had a bowel movement, it came out whole. That's what we're talking about when you're not in the rest and digest. Simple things like just slowing down and chewing your food. I know this sounds basic and you're like, I know how to eat, LJ. I got this. I'm telling you, slowing down and actually chewing your food and doing small things like being grateful for your food, saying a prayer, a blessing, whatever it is, over your food before you digest it, that can take your body out of that fight or flight. I'm running from a bear. I'm trying to save a child. You know, I'm in danger. I'm in danger. It will take you from there and to that parasympathetic so that you can heal. I know that some of you get very offended, and I'm not even getting ready to go into the politics of using the word heal. Tomato, tomato, you can call it what you want, but at the end of the day, you're trying to decrease some symptoms, right? I say the word healing. You may not be down with that, and I'm okay with that, but we need to get you in rest and digest so that you can decrease the inflammation, so that you can stop having the heart palpitations and balance the hormones. So think of this as another tool, right? So when we're talking about sympathetic, the fight or flight versus the parasympathetic, huge, huge thing, right? So sympathetic, your heart rate is up. You're maybe having trouble breathing. It inhibits the gallbladder. So then you're eating healthy fats, but then you don't have the bile, AKA the detergent, I call it, to break it down. So that's where you're having all these issues. You're eating the right foods, right? You're doing all the things, but you don't have the digestive enzymes to break them down. A lot of excessive sweating, your bladder, you can't relax your bladder. You feel like you need to go to the bathroom. You're going. You feel like there's more urine. You go back to the desk. You're like, is it empty? Is it full? You don't even know. That is when your body is in fight or flight. The other thing I will add when we're talking more about endometriosis is a lot of this tightness. When you're stuck in fight or flight, the best way I can describe it, and I'll put myself in the hot seat for this because this happened to me recently due to a mold exposure I just had about 30 days ago. The only way I could have described it, and I was telling my ex-boyfriend, is I felt like I had stuck my finger in a socket and I could not turn my body down. Now, no, I've never stuck my finger in a socket, so I ain't got no firsthand experience on that one, but you get what I'm saying. I felt like someone had charged my battery and none of my normal stuff to calm my body worked. The deep breathing, baby, it wasn't working. The magnesium bath, I was not sleeping. I was wide awake at night. My mind was racing. I was having eye floaters. I'm going to just keep it 100. There were times where I was like, I thought I was seeing things. I had been up like 5 days straight. Like my body was on overdrive. For some of you, that's that kick that you get when you're having too much caffeine. PS and side note that I'm going to throw in, if you feel that jolt from caffeine, it's your liver. We need to chit chat, right? There's nothing wrong with caffeine. I'm not demonizing it, but if you have a sensitivity to caffeine, may it be coffee or any other caffeine, that is your liver that needs support. So when you're talking about that charged up system, that's just the best way I can describe it. Finger in the socket, you can't slow it down. You can't think, you can't focus. You're at your job for 8 hours, that to-do list that only only had three things on it, probably still has the same three things 8 hours later. You don't know why you didn't get them done. You can't tell anybody what you did for 8 hours. You feel discouraged. Your mind is racing. You are just charged up. That is what we're talking about. When you are in that charged up phase, your body cannot heal. Now, some of you are in that charged up phase, and rather than the run, the fight or flight, your body just shuts down. You shut down emotionally. You become numb, right? You're not thirsty. You're not hungry. You're like, I don't have an appetite. You may drop weight. Your body just goes dormant, period. Now, when that happens, you feel trapped, not just emotionally, but physically. Your body, you may have dizziness, you may have nausea, your immune system may be like, we're numb as well. Get ready to get sick because we're not working. Everything shuts down. So when we are not addressing the nervous system, this is what it looks like. I wish we could have a whole conversation and talk to each person. I want you guys to hit me in the chat if any of this is resonating with you. Have you ever felt the whole finger in the light socket? I know it's a crazy analogy, but have you ever felt that? Have you ever did all the melatonin, the magnesium bath, all the fun stuff, right, to get some good sleep, and you still wide awake, right? You're not able to stop the circular thinking. Your body is wired and very much tired. I repeat, wired and tired. Now, let's talk about some of the causes. I'm going to go straight to the toxin bucket. Let me give you an analogy. Having the trash in the house, right? I love my analogies. I'm sorry. If you don't like analogies, bear with me, but this is a good one. You have the trash in the house. Family is collecting all the trash. Trash day is on Tuesday. But here's the thing. If you do not take the trash out of the house and put it on the curb, it will be full. Even if you take it out of the house and you put it in the backyard until somebody rolls it out and the trash company picks it up, your container will overflow. You can have the nicest house, the nicest trash can, Pinterest, beautiful. I believe it. But if you're not doing the work to actually empty the trash, your bucket becomes full. When your toxin bucket is full, that is when you're in trouble. That is when it's overflowing. A lot of the times when you're feeling this excessive pain, this irritation, you know, oh, I think it's just my hormones. Oh, it's just my period. Yes, yes, and yes. However, when you are starting to have a lot of toxic exposure, this can be coming from your tap water. Maybe you were raised in an environment on like a farm. Maybe you have parasites, pathogens, possibly your little cheap makeup that you're buying, right? Some of it, even the expensive stuff, the chemicals, EMFs, heavy metals. I have to say on the heavy metals, because I'm dealing with this right now as I detox, even if you're not on birth control right now, you still have came across heavy metals and you need to properly detox. And just because you came off birth control 5-10 years ago or snatched out that IUD a year ago does not mean all the heavy metals have been removed from your body. And I am learning that as I am parasite cleansing right now. And if you guys seen my picture on Instagram as I'm sweating, and I swear to you, I take a shower before and after the sauna, and it's like iridescent, dark, definitely heavy metals being released from the body, right? All of those things make a huge impact on the vagus nerve. They make a huge impact on your nervous system. So small things that you can do to support yourself is to not just think of what do I need to remove? Because maybe the makeup you're using right now, you're like, LJ, I don't know what to do. I don't have a clean product, or this is what works for me. You know, whatever the case may be, find a way to decrease the toxic load on your body. May it be not using the tap water and getting a really good filter. May it be changing some of your makeup products, possibly just doing some basic things like not cleaning with bleach and Lysol and Gain and Tide. I'm sorry, but I'm coming for all the big box brands, because all of those carcinogens and all of those chemicals, they are having a negative impact on your hormones, pretty much xenoestrogen. So as you laying up in that Gain that's, you know, spring, summer, fresh, and all these other lavender fragrances, which it's fake lavender, all of that stuff that you laid up in all night is working havoc on your hormones, is revving up your nervous system. I'm going to take it a step further. You need to look at your products. I'm not going to take it a step further because I could keep going to that. I am very passionate about decreasing the toxic load. For me, my toxic load was breast implants. I had those removed over a year ago. Now, that was not the only piece of toxic load I had on my body, but baby, those were a big one. Had them for 8 years, yanked them out. If you want to learn more, you can go back and listen to another episode. I talk all about it, how I detox them, why I'm detoxing them, just wasn't working for my body. So start looking at your chemical exposure, EMFs, toxins in your homes, your household products, perfumes, all of that stuff. It is making a difference with your nervous system. Chronic stress and poor sleep. A lot of you are not sleeping properly. I understand that you're in pain. I understand that you're very busy. You've got children, you have family and all of these things. But if you do not let your body, if you do not lay down and actually get restful sleep, you're technically still stuck in that fight or flight. You're not going to be able to decrease inflammation. You're not going to be able to decrease the pain if your body is running that marathon, even though you're not physically running. If you're mentally and your nervous system is still charged up like the finger in the socket, that is going to hold you back from regulating that nervous system. Now, when we talk about stress, I want to talk about this in a couple different ways, because when we think about stress, we're usually like, oh my gosh, that one coworker that pisses me off, or, you know, my kids, it's going back to school. I'm trying to get everything situated. Stress is not just that. Let me put it this way. Stress is going to be internal and external, you know, internal stressors, endometriosis, chronic systemic inflammation throughout the entire body. That is a stressor. That is a stressor. If you have chronic infections, if you're always fighting a yeast infection, you always fighting some BV, you always got a cold sore, all of those things are chronic infections. That is a stressor on our body. So we need to be wiser, wise as a serpent. We're going to have to educate ourselves. Stressors are not just a person that ticks you off at work. There are internal stressors. There are external stressors. Both of those stressors have to be addressed. I repeat, both of those stressors have to be addressed. I think it's very easy for us to blame that, you know, my kids are stressing me out, my partner and pissed me off, my boss and talking to me like he ain't got no sense. Those are real easy, right, to put all that out. But what we need to start doing is start looking at the internal stressor. Are you pooping all the time? Are you getting a plenty of water? Are you getting proper sleep? Even with the sleep, one thing I work with my patients on is having a sleep routine. Something as basic, I would actually get mine, but I don't want to walk away from the mic, is around 5 or 6, which it's 4:30 for me now, so I've got a little time. But in the evening, I wear my blue blocker glasses. Now, some people wear them all day. For me, I do not, because they really do calm my body and get me ready for sleep. And baby, I'm over here moving mountains and healing wounds during the day. I am not trying to fall asleep. But you can wear your blue blockers all day. But simple things like bringing in blue blocking glasses in the evening, getting off your devices. Yes, I want you to binge listen to my podcast, but sometimes we're going to have to kind of unwind so that our body is not increasing that cortisol and that adrenaline is not rushing through our system. So making sure that you're getting proper sleep and then addressing the internal and the external stressors. Now, we're going to have to jump to some of the unsexy. Childhood trauma affects your nervous system. Easiest analogy, that one family member that you literally cannot stand, but you force your family and your children to still smile, hug them, sit on their lap and everything else every holiday, knowing good and well, this person irritates your very being, every cell in your body. I'm not saying we could go a little deeper. We maybe need to hit that on a discovery call if you want to dig deeper on some of the family trauma. But this is what I will say. We need to be able to understand that childhood trauma and us not feeling safe affects our pain levels. If your body is in fight or flight as a child, if maybe there was sexual abuse, domestic abuse, a serious car accident, maybe a serious hospitalization, many with endo, you've had some hospitalizations, right? And they were not all endo related. You've had your kidney taken out. You know, you've had a bladder infection. You've had the emergency gallbladder surgery. All of those things are traumatic. Now, I'm not saying that you're weak. I'm not saying, you know, because of the childhood trauma, that's why you have endo. Don't even take me there because that's not where I'm going. But what I'm saying is those childhood experiences will rev up your nervous system. That unforgiveness of that thing that happened 10, 15 years ago, that thing that your ex-boyfriend, your spouse, maybe somebody you with currently that's acting a fool, those things that they are saying, they are affecting your nervous nervous system. You know what it's like when you get around a certain person and you don't know why you don't want to be around them. You can't figure it out. You don't know exactly what they've done. But I will just say this without being overly religious. It's like there's just something in your spirit that's like something ain't right. That is what I'm talking about. So when you're trying to take care of your nervous system, you need to think about any type of abuse, sexual traumas, especially with the womb. The body keeps score. And for anyone that has a uterus, you need to remember, a broken heart is one thing. Yeah, it's going to hit up top, but any of that trauma and drama that hits your heart is going to drop down to your second heart, which is your uterus. And I understand that endometriosis is not a uterine tissue. I understand that, but it does exacerbate your period. It can cause a lot of hormone issues, and it's going to rock your womb wellness area. Even if it's silent endo, it's still rocking your world. You have to be able to take the time to do the work. May that be talking to a pastor, a social worker, working with someone like myself, but you need to be able to release that trauma because that's some of the stuff keeping you up late at night. I feel the need to say it. I don't know who this is for, but also if you're waking up all the time between 4 and 6, I repeat, between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m., unless this is the time that you normally get up for work, but if you wake up a little more startled around that time, you're dealing with some sadness and some grief. And that childhood trauma or even something traumatic that's happened in your adult life is wreaking havoc on your nervous system. Any type of surgeries, especially traumatic brain injuries, all of those things. Chronic infections, and I know chronic infections are huge for the endo community because of the autoimmune-like factors. Many people that have endo, I mean, I've met a couple, but typically it's like endo, IBS, asthma. There's usually a list of things, right? Your immune system shows up when it can, but honey, when it can't, you're down for the count, right? You're the one that's always getting the flu. You're always getting the scamdemic. You're always getting the cold sores. You know, that is what we're talking about with chronic infections. Those chronic infections is when I go back to those internal stressors. That is going to increase your pain. That is going to increase your inflammation. And let's also just talk about the anxiety. I remember what it was like not knowing if I was going to be able to go to work on the week of my period. I know what it was like to have to call in and get wrote up. I was let go from a job and I was the best employee they had. And they told me, but they were like, you're not reliable. It's pretty humbling to have to explain to an employer that I'm reliable. It's my body that's not reliable, but they don't understand that, right? So those are some of the humbling things that we've had to go through. So when you are wanting to past some of this unsexy stuff, I encourage you to think about what you've been through. And I will just leave it at this, saying that you are worth it. Another thing wreaking havoc on your nervous system, blood sugar imbalances, especially for my babies that got endo and PCOS. Honey, blood sugar needs to be balanced. I repeat, blood sugar needs to be balanced. Now, when I say blood sugar, I'm not saying just run out and get some berberine. I think that can be very helpful, but making sure you're getting well-balanced meals. But if you're that person that gets really hangry around 3 o'clock, maybe 2:30, you're like, if I don't have my coffee, if I don't have some sugar, I can't keep my eyes open. I'm not going to make it through the day. You need to be regulating your blood sugar. I wouldn't say regulating. You need to be monitoring and supporting. Let me repeat, monitoring and supporting. Having the processed foods, you know, having a little quick this, that, and the other. Yeah, it may make you feel good for a minute, but when you come off that crash or when you don't have that caffeine and that coffee and that other stuff, that caffeine and coffee, essentially same thing, but you know what I mean. When you don't have those stimulants, your body is not able to support you. When you have sudden drops in your blood sugar, that can cause fatigue, pain. Your body just feels irritated. So managing your blood sugar and supporting that, that can be huge for you, right? If you're dealing with the vagus nerve issues and you've got the pain and the nerve pain and the fatigue and the irritability, I'm not saying it could be something this simple, but look at your blood sugar and just realize that if your blood sugar is up, down, and all around, I'm guessing your pain is up, down, and all around as well. So these are the things I'm talking about. Some of the unsex, nobody's on Instagram looking, you know, usually for blood sugar issues, unless they have a diagnosis of diabetes. And just because you don't have the diagnosis of diabetes doesn't mean that your blood sugar doesn't need to be supported, right? The other thing I will say for some that are like, well, I don't know if I have blood sugar issue or not. You can always test rather than guess. That's super helpful. Another little trick that I do with my patients is, let's say you have lunch at 12 o'clock and you're like, I always have these items, or you start logging your food for a week. every day that you eat at 12 o'clock, can you barely open your eyes? Are you falling asleep at 12:30? Are you dozing off at the office at 1? Is it every time you eat certain foods, you're in a sugar coma where you get super, super sleepy, you can't keep your eyes open, and then all of a sudden you come out of that fog, but then unfortunately you got to eat 3 or 4 hours later, you eat the wrong foods. So if you eat foods and you feel like you can't function, you can't keep your eyes open unless it's like time to go to bed, which you shouldn't really be eating too much of a meal right before bed, but if it's putting you in that sugar coma, it's what I would like to call it, you need to be supporting your blood sugar. A little deeper on the toxins, right? Now, toxins are going to be pesticides, processed foods. You know what? I'm not going to come after the medical marijuana. I'm going to do that on a whole nother situation. This is what I will say. It can be helpful, but it depends on your toxin bucket. A lot of the marijuana, especially if it is not medical, is very high in mold. A lot of you are dealing with a lot of fungal overgrowths, candida, yeast, etc. So it may help you a little bit. And then we got the pens and the vapes and all those things. Look at your toxin bucket. What are you taking into your body and how is it affecting you? Are you doing the organic fruits and vegetables? Are you doing the non-organic, but taking it a step further and, you know, soaking it in vinegar or buying the washes and doing those simple things? Because that is going to really help you when it comes to regulating the pain. So I love, love, love solutions. So now we're going to get down to the solutions because I feel like I've been very negative, but I'm like, I have to just put it out there. And like I said, it has just became very apparent to me that we're doing some of the stuff, the surface stuff, but we're not doing any of the unsexy. And this is definitely what I would kind of put on the unsexy. So if you're dealing with the nervous system issues, we have to remember, like I said, that endometriosis and whatever diagnosis you're dealing with, that is not the problem. That is your body giving you a check engine light. Now, my first little thing, if you're taking some notes, honey, this is where you want to grab that pen and paper or grab the show notes if you can. We'll try to get all that in there, at least put a link for that. Give me just a second for you who are attending live. I will put a link because I'm going to start talking about some of my first go-tos, essential oils. Why essential oils over supplements? Because I get this all the time. I think supplements are amazing, but essential oils are going to hit the system, especially if you can get them in through the nasal passages. You can breathe those in. You can put them in the diffuser. You can apply them straight to where you need them. They can be so impactful. And it's just kind of nice, like almost like a first aid kit, right? Like everyone has a first aid kit. Hopefully we're not over here using no Neosporin, but you know what I mean? You got your Neosporin, you got your Band-Aids, you know, you got your little ACE bandage. You don't know when you're going to need it, but when it's needed, you have it. This is how I look at the essential oils, right? It's going to be those quick things rather than running for the ibuprofen, rather than, you know, running for the Xanax or whatever it is to calm your body. Having these tools can be helpful. Balance oil is one that I love. I'm just going to kind of rattle off some oils and some of the benefits. And then if I have any like personal experience, you know, I like to throw my little 2 cents in. Balance oil has been very helpful for me right now because I've been going through a lot of transitions as I was re-exposed to mold, you know, transitioning out of a toxic narcissistic relationship. Your girl over here growing and flowing and doing her very best. But some days I needed some reassurance. I just needed to feel a little more grounded. Yes, I love to, you know, go outside and, you know, put my feet in the grass and all that stuff. But the grounding oil has been very helpful. I like to put the balance oil on the bottom of my feet and directly over my heart to just calm my body. Like I said, if you're feeling that charged up where you're like, I just want to be balanced. Like I just want to have a good day. I may not have all the solutions to everything that's wrong with my body at the moment, but I want to kind of nurture my body, calm my body down and remind it is okay, right? That we are safe. Balance oil is for you. I love Citrus Bliss. It is very invigorating and stimulating. So sometimes that nervous system is charged up and it just needs to be supported. So I like to bring in Citrus Bliss is another brand or another blend. Now we do have a blend that is called Adaptive. It is very calming.
It promotes relaxation and just really positive feelings. Now, I do have a personal experience with a patient right now that has really been using the adaptive oil. She's been having a lot of anxiety when she's driving. And so we're using the adaptive oil on her pulse points. We're putting it over her heart and a couple different places to calm her body and really just take that finger out of the socket. It also increases the dopamine, those feel-good hormones. I'm going to talk about gut health for just a second, because when I test people when they're hormones in their gut, we really look at those neurotransmitters. And I see a lot of people that are dealing with anxiety and depression. And they're like, my mood is just all over. Like, I'm sassy, but this is like a little bit extra. When we're dealing with that, it's a lot going on in your gut, but being able to bring in that dopamine and just really bring in that neurotransmitter, the adaptive oil is super helpful for that. And these are all essential oils that I'm talking about. We've got Copaiba or Copaiba, depending on how you pronounce it, really great for anxiety. And it just really promotes homeostasis, that balance. You have to have balance. We always talk about estrogen and progesterone and all the hormones, and we demonize some of them, right? Because you're like, they have too much estrogen, it's a problem. Well, is it that you have too much estrogen or you don't have enough progesterone, right? There's a couple different ways to look at it. So bringing in that oil can be very great to just calm your body and bring you into balance. We have deep blue polyphenol. Really, really great for calming the nervous system, decreasing inflammation, especially if you're dealing with brain fog. So when that nervous system is, you know, charged up and you can't remember anything, or people walking around talking about, you know, I have the memory of a, I don't even know what it is, but like, you're always like, I can't remember anything. My short-term memory, the long-term memory, you know, I've got to write everything down. I'm discombobulated. I have circular thinking. Deep blue poly is for you. So I put the link in there if you guys want to click on that. I put everything in there. Take what you need, subtract what you don't want. They are running some amazing promotions right now. So feel free to take advantage of that. If you have frankincense, that is really soothing as well. It will also decrease hyperactivity, decrease that circular thinking, and really help with restless leg syndrome. Now, what I will say is if you're dealing with restless legs, I hate to use the P word, but baby, you're dealing with some parasites as well. So that can be very supportive. Serenity, it comes in gel caps and it also comes in an oil. Now, that's really great to help you sleep, but it also calms the nervous system. I have been using it at night. I'm pretty high energy, but I definitely know the difference between Dr. LJ high energy and nervous system. Needs, you know, nervous system AF problems. So definitely I use the Serenity at night. I love that. Now, another product we have is called Vetiver. First thing when I think of Vetiver is EMF exposure. And I know for me, I spent a lot of time, you know, in the hospitals all around on the technology, the 5G, the whatever. I don't even know. I'm not trying to blame. I just know I needed to detox an EMF. So I love to use the Vetiver. I put it on the back of my neck. I also put it on the bottom of my feet in some certain points because it really stops that mind chatter. And I know a lot of you are not sleeping properly at night because you're thinking of, you know, you're in pain. What did I not get done today? You know, you feel like you're letting your family down. You know, your mind is racing, right? And typically when the mind's racing and you can't sleep, what do? You turn on that TV, you start looking on, scrolling on Instagram and all that. And so that oil would be beneficial. I'm just saying. Bergamot is really great if you deal with a lot of agitation and stress. It is also a natural sedative. I kind of hate to use that word, but it's true. It's a really natural calming sedative. And then my favorite out of all of them, Roman chamomile. Super, super calming, clears the mind, and just really brings you to your center. Sometimes I think, yes, doing the deep breaths can be helpful, but sometimes we need to have some other tools in our toolbox. And those are a bunch of tools that I just gave you. Next, meditation, prayer, and yoga. You have to choose what works for you. I like my quiet time in the morning. In the morning, I'm not about to do no yoga, period, point blank. I maybe catch you on the hot yoga, you know, for a workout. That's just me personally. But being able to take that time to express gratitude, and I know that can be very challenging when you're managing chronic pain. I get it, right? It's real hard to be grateful when your back is out and you haven't been able to get off the couch for 2 days, but you have to take the time to be grateful for where you're at, still using those tools, doing the deep breathing, because when you're doing that deep breathing, and I want to take it a step further, if you take time during the day to even stretch for 2 or 3 minutes, it tells your body that you're safe. It is okay to calm down. It is okay to take that finger out of the socket. I keep saying that, and just be, just chill. It is okay to do that. feel free to stretch during the day and remind yourself that it is safe. When it comes to nutrition, anti-inflammatory foods and anti-inflammatory diet, nutrition, whatever you want to call it, can be helpful. But what I really like to hone in on, and I've seen the most success, is identifying your trigger foods. I think some of us, you know, I don't want to say us because I've been set free, so I'm not doing it any longer. But some of you guys are out here just still doing the cookie cutter stuff. You're doing the, you know, the low FODMAP, the candida, the this, that, and the other. I think those can all be helpful. But if you don't know what your trigger foods are, and I know, you don't want to log your food. Ain't nothing fun about it. But I'm telling you, logging your food for even for 30 days, and it doesn't have to be, I had 5 bites of spaghetti, 2 pieces of Olive Garden bread. You know, it could be like, I had these, that, and the other, just to have it very generic so that you can start to identify what foods feel good for you during the day, but also realizing that, oh, when I eat such and such for lunch and dinner, I don't sleep as well as night. You know, that nerve pain kind of creeps up. You know, once again, it's easy to blame everything on endo. It's my endo, like a broken record. And I need that record to be broken and stop playing, because you're fooling yourself if you want to just give endo all the credit. So looking at those trigger foods. Now, yes, you can, you know, definitely cut back on the processed food, eat more greens, you know, balance your blood sugar. The processed foods, and I know that's really challenging, but knowing what your trigger foods are. Now, I recently just did some testing, because I pretty much had my trigger foods down, but I was like, you know what? Let me just test. Your girl allergic AF to MSG. Now, I don't really sit around thinking about MSG, but once I noticed that I was like sensitive to it and started doing the research, it was pretty much just in every condiment. Baby Ray's, I was like, sorry, but I can't play with you no more, right? But the problem is like barbecue sauce and all these condiments, they're so sneaky. You know, they don't put MSG on there unless you're eating like Asian food and you know that you're probably getting MSG. But being able to do some testing and really test rather than guess can be super helpful, because I keep saying it, you're eating clean, you're eating organic, you're doing the water fasts, the juice cleanses, the 60-day challenges, nothing against all of those. But if you do not eliminate the trigger foods, if you do not take care of the leaky gut, if you do not take care of the internal and the external stressors, that can be really impactful. Now, healing the nervous system too, I'm very leery of mentioning this tip, but I want to go there for just a little bit, is intermittent fasting. When I say intermittent fasting, I am not talking about starving yourself. That's not what I'm saying. And the biggest issue that I have with intermittent fasting is most of y'all just don't know how to do it right. You set your little eating window, you know, I'm only going to eat from 12 to 8, and then you eat like a bird. You have a cheese stick, an apple, a protein shake, and a salad, and wondering why you're still gaining weight. Your attitude's all over, your hormones are messed up, and you're miserable, because intermittent fasting is essentially setting a window and taking in all your nutrition during that eating window. So you guys don't have an issue creating the eating window. You just don't know what to eat during the window. Then you eat like a bird, you starve in, and then at 1 a.m. you're ready to inhale everything in sight. But eating in that window gives your digestive tract and your nervous system time to be like, okay, we only have to work kind of harder, I hate to say it, for this 8 hours, and then we can chill, rest, digest, and heal for those other hours. So I don't think intermittent fasting is for everyone, especially if you have a thyroid issue, if you've got some medications that require you to eat and different things like that. I was very leery of mentioning that one, but you know, intermittent fasting can be helpful, but definitely educate yourself and make sure you're bringing in all of your nutrients. Another thing, improving your gut health. This is where we need to, as Dr. Carey would say, we got to poop for science. We're going to need to start doing some stool samples and not just talking about, oh yeah, my gut is fine, or oh, I'm always bloated. But if you're having, I'm giving that example because I know y'all just be like, gut health probiotics. I think they can be helpful, but it really and truly depends on what is going on in your gut. And if you have chronic pain, chronic inflammation, things that you're always dealing with, you know, well, I always have H. pylori, or I always have a toenail fungus, or I always this, you're always, 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 I'm going to tell you right now, they always just live in your digestive tract. And just because you put a Band-Aid or take a prescription and you're better for 60 days, but if you're always living on nystatin and Diflucan, and honey, I know all the meds because they tried to put me on them, and I did them for a while when I was younger till I realized it wasn't getting to the root of the problem. So realize that you need to maximize your gut. And for a lot of you, looking at those trigger foods and then really figuring out what's going on with your gut and whether you need, you know, not not whether you need probiotics, but which one you actually need is important. Regulating the nervous system, movement, AKA exercise. I love, love, love exercise. I love movement, but I think most of the time we're coming from that scarcity mindset of, you know, I have to work out. I'm going to decrease my food. I'm going to increase my activity. Or we over here trying to do some workouts that we did when we were 16, knowing good and well, baby, you ain't got that same body. So them little, you know, I know you may be able to fit into the cheerleading outfit, but the same workouts that worked for you in college may not be working for you now. And if you're in college right now, honey, do all you can, because when that body adi-adi switches over, you're going to need to change your mindset and change your workouts. But realizing that movement can be helpful. Now, when I say movement, I didn't say it had to be OTF, F45, any of these. You don't have to go to SoulCycle every day. You don't have to do hot yoga. Movement could be 15 to 20 minutes of yoga in the bed, stretching at night, taking your dog for a walk, a leisurely stroll with yourself or your homegirl, your partner. It doesn't have to be this balls to the wall. I'm dripping sweat. I can barely breathe. I'm stuck on the couch for 2 hours afterwards, because that's essentially what's kind of gotten a lot of us in the spot that we're in. Now, it didn't give you endo, and I have to keep saying this because I get your little DMs, but that's not what I'm saying. But it is exasperating your situation, and we need to realize that movement needs to be brought in to heal our body and get us out of that fight or flight to increase those feel good endorphins. But we don't want to beat our body up with the movement, trying to chastise ourselves because we ate something that we shouldn't have, or the scale gave us a number that we don't love. You know, there's definitely a lot of nutraceuticals you can bring in, magnesium, zinc, different things like that. Magnesium rich foods. We're talking about like cashews, turkey, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, you know, eggs, if those work for you, you know, different things, realizing that you have to keep that within your scope, making sure that you know your trigger foods when you bring those in. I really, really love ashwagandha, and L-theanine is really helpful when it comes to the nervous system as well. But you want to make sure you work with your provider to make sure you're getting the right dosage, you're getting a good quality brand. Hyperbaric oxygen chamber, love it. Could talk about it for hours. It has been life-changing for me because that extra oxygen, it is amazing. Like, it just floods your body with oxygen. What's helped you come into that rest and digest, that AKA that heal, it decreases stress. It decreases anxiety. I've had pain before and I went into the chamber and maybe 20 minutes later, pain was gone. Like, it just brings your body back to that ground zero, kind of like the balance oil that I was talking about that you can put on your feet and your heart. It just calms everything down. You've got things like going to your chiropractor, massage, acupuncture, all of these modalities. And this is why I say you need to have a toolbox. What works for your nervous system and calms your body down today may not work for tomorrow. And I've just realized this as well, just in my own personal experience, which is why I wanted to talk to you guys about this. You know, I got all the tools. I got the infrared sauna, the ozone. Honey, I'm doing it all. But as soon as I came across some air quality that didn't work for me, I was exposed to mold. If you guys are being exposed to mildew, if you know, certain type of dust and pollen, anything that kind of irritates your airways, if you're more sensitive to that, you're going to have to be very aware that you need to make sure you have clean air quality. And I could go on a soapbox about that. And don't worry, we're going to start unpacking the air quality and the mold and all of that, because that is really one of those external triggers that we're just not really aware of. We look in the bathroom and we don't see the mold, so we assume it's not there. But I'm telling you, when you've got the window AC that's blowing mold all of you overnight, or there are certain places that you go, and when you go to work and you start, you know, dealing with sick buildings and things like that, sick building syndrome, it is all connected. So that is like the best overview I can give you guys without talking for hours and hours and hours about the nervous system and different things that you can do to support your nervous system.
Thanks for listening to another amazing episode of the Holistic Endo Expert Podcast. Now, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite listening platform and be sure to leave a 5-star review telling me your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Also, take advantage of those show notes where you can find lots of freebies and offers to help you with your endometriosis journey. Last but not least, be sure to follow me on Instagram, and I look forward to bringing you more amazing content to help you go from endo warrior to endo conqueror.